I'm really grateful for all of you. You know, I was thinking it's an amazing thing how God has brought us all from all over the country. And our lives have intersected at this time in this place for this semester. And you know, the time that we have and the friends we make here are for this time, and God's going to take us from this place, and perhaps as you leave college and Baptist College of Ministry, all of us are going to go all kinds of directions. And the time that we have here is a very strategic time in our lives. It's an important time for us to sharpen each other and, I believe, make friendships that God can use many years down the road. But you know, while we all wear the suit and tie or the dress, the protocol that's required here at Baptist College of Ministry, it's easy to somehow think that all of us are walking exactly the same road all at the same time. But the fact is, all of us have a lot going on inside of our soul. There's decisions that we're making. And truth be known, a lot of that is going to come to bear in the choices we make as we go from this place. And I'm burdened about that for every single one of you. As we think about where God has all of us in 10 years from now, and 20 years from now, and 50 years from now, I'm really burdened that all of us stay on the same trajectory of faith where God has us today. And I do see so many casualties in the context of counseling, and I'm really grateful God majors in redemption. Aren't you? All of us have needed that. But I also just realize how sobering it is to be in a place where God is working in our lives and calling us forward with Him, and then stepping on to the next phase of our life and beyond, and circumstances and trials come into our lives, other opportunities, perhaps other distractions in our lives, and we can lose sight of the calling God's put in our souls and the vision that He planted in our hearts even in these days. And so this morning, I was just praying for all of you. I don't know most of you, okay? But I'm just praying for this generation. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your future ministry. I'm praying for this semester. I'm praying for your future marriages. I'm praying that God will keep us all in His love. I'm praying that God will somehow as well keep all of our feet from falling. It's so important. We're training for glass box ministry. And let us never underestimate the importance and significance of our responsibility to a Savior that's chosen us to serve Him. It's a sacred calling. It's a wonderful calling. And I'm so grateful for you. You have your Bibles, and we've been looking at Forward with God, Lessons from the Life of Peter. I invite you to take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 is where we'll be this morning as we consider another very important piece in the journey of the life of Peter. The title for my message here this morning is Watch and Pray, Forward on Your Knees. And I just invite us here to take the Word of God. It's the most precious book we have. It's a living book. And it has the power to change our lives. And I hope every time you open its pages, you recognize that you're not just reading black words off a white page. It's profound truth that changes us from the inside out. And so Mark chapter 14, I invite us to look at verse 26. Then we'll jump down to verse 32 and read a few more verses. Mark chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, "And when they," Jesus and His disciples, "had sung a hymn." Can you imagine that men's chorus? 12 disciples and our Lord. Wow. I wonder what hymn they sang. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll get to join them sing. "They went out into the Mount of Olives." And verse 32 says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And He saith to His disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye, and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is so weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And these sleeping fellows now found it impossible to sleep for the next several hours. And I bring to us this simple message, watch and pray. Forward on your knees. Can we bow our heads? Father, you've given us a brand new day. It's a day of opportunity. It's a day of divine stewardship. We only get it once, and we're forever held accountable for how we steward this day. And Father, as we come here today, there are so many things on our schedule. There are so many things before us. There's many decisions to be made. There's many voices of need calling our name. Lord, as we anticipate this new year, there are so many concerns and responsibilities and plans that are being made. But Father, I pray that as we seek to go forward with you in 2025, help us to recognize that the place forward always begins on our knees. Lord, help us in your name, because you care. Amen. I love this story, again featuring the life of Peter. And I just want to pause for a moment here and consider some surprises I found in my own personal journey, especially over the last 25 years, going forward with God. And these are just some surprises that I've found, and I'm sure there's many more surprises I'm going to discover in my journey, my walk with God. But I think these are really important to just keep in mind, and I think perhaps they're an introduction to where we're going to go this morning. I've discovered that walking with God often requires more solitude than service. Now, I want to be quick to say, inevitably, our lives are always going to be filled with a lot more responsibilities than devotion time, okay? That's the nature of life. God's not called us to a monastery. He's called us to service. But if there's anything that God is definitely wanting to add more into our life, it's not more busyness as it is more solitude. And I have just discovered in my own journey, it's so easy for me to get caught up in do and forget the importance of solitude. Solitude is painful. Solitude is extremely vulnerable. But I'll tell you, it's always the place for effective service. It's possible to be very busy for the Lord and yet have very little fruitfulness in the process. And I believe God is burdened here for his disciples, for Peter, James, and John, that they not just live busy lives for him, but they discover the most important priority of solitude. We're going to talk more about that. But I've also discovered that going forward with God often requires more kneeling than standing. You know, there are many postures in the Christian walk. I think about Ephesians chapter 6, where it invites us, stand, stand, stand. We're living in an evil day. And it's important that we take a stand for the cause of Christ. It's important that we not sit on the sideline. It's important that we not become passive. It's important that we not be caught sleeping. This is an important day, and I promise you, every day we're getting closer to the coming of our Lord. We have no idea the day or the hour. All we know is we are way closer today than we've ever been in all of human history, which makes, again, today one of the most important days in all of our life. And as important it is to stand, I've realized that the hardest thing for me has actually been to discover the importance of more kneeling. Do you know how often we take time to pray? And if you're like me, I went for years without really kneeling. I did that for years on purpose, not kneeling, walking, just to keep myself awake. And that's not always a bad thing, actually. But I was challenged by a book several years ago, actually relatively recently, I should say, by R.A. Torrey, entitled simply, How to Pray. I felt like he took me to kindergarten on the subject of prayer. And every chapter I read, I was just absolutely overwhelmed and blown away by its truth. One of the things he really challenged was the importance of taking some time in all of your prayer time actually on your knees. You know, there's nothing more humbling we ever do, and there's nothing more stilling that we ever do than bending to pray. Sometimes I've realized that the best prayers we pray never have words, ever carried a load so heavy or burdens that you didn't know how to frame with words, or pain that felt so sore you didn't know how to express. I'm so glad that the great intercessor can find the words we don't know how to say and is able to make those requests to him. But there's something extremely powerful, in fact, something that brings awesome rest into an anxious soul, into a busy soul, when we discover that going forward with God often calls us to more kneeling than standing. Now, if you're like me, I can't kneel for very long because of nerve pain. But I've realized, God help us never to find some excuse to escape perhaps one of the most important keys to going forward with God. Again, it's not primarily the posture that makes the difference, but I do feel like body language has a lot to say to heaven. More listening than speaking, going forward with God, I'm discovering has a lot more to do. God's always calling us to more listening than to speaking. That's true in our walk with Him, and I realize that every day God has a lot to say to me. I loved what Pastor Van Gelderen opened one of the recent evening services with, it may have been even last night, from Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Our family's going through the book of Revelation in our family devotions, a chapter each day, and our theme verse for this year has been from my father, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. You know, there's never a question of whether God has something to say. He's always speaking. The question is whether I'm listening. And I'm realizing so much in my personal walk with God, and especially when it comes to prayer, that prayer is not primarily about me coming to talk to Him, though that's a very important aspect of prayer. But I'm realizing more and more that a key aspect of prayer is God has a lot to say to me. Now, I'm realizing God is not limited to my hour in the morning. in order to talk to me. But I hope that that hour with him, or whatever time you get to spend, actually sets you up and puts you in the place to anticipate God speaking in the course of your day. I've often realized that the time I spend in the morning actually sets me up to hear the voice of God that sometimes comes through another source or other circumstances outside of that quiet time in my prayer closet. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't speak to us within our prayer closet, but I've realized that sometimes there's a process that God's leading us in our lives, and my devotions are simply the opportunity for me to entertain God. And as I entertain God there, I can anticipate Him meeting me in the course of the rest of that day. And then also, going forward with God often requires more waiting than walking. I can't stand waiting. Can you? I tell you what, I always love to be doing something. I would rather have too much to do than not enough to do. How many of you are with me on that? Okay, now there comes a limit, I get that. But there is something even more painful than a busy schedule, and that's not having anything to do. I've realized that going forward with God often calls to significant periods of waiting. And waiting on God is never a waste of your time. Never forget that. A lot of times we're watching the clock tick by and we're thinking, God, look at all the incredible needs. And Lord, somehow I feel like you're late opening the next door in my life. I'm discovering that waiting is never a waste of our time. In fact, it ends up being the best preparation for the most effective service in the shortest amount of time. Do you know that God's not so much concerned with the clock and how much need is in the world? His biggest concern is whether He's got all of you to work with. And I've realized that it often takes time for God to get all of me. And it's not necessarily because I'm trying to hold something back, it's that I don't always understand what there is yet He's calling me to give and what more He's calling me to surrender, except in the context of waiting. I want to draw our attention to this question. It's another question that Jesus asked Peter. And the question is, why could you not watch 1 hour? Now, I find it interesting here that when Jesus called His disciples here into the garden, He invited them all to pray. But then He took three more a big step farther into that garden to an even more private place to pray. And I can't imagine their being caught off guard when Jesus comes back after His first period of prayer, and you're shocked when you see Him standing, and His only words are, "Why are you sleeping? Remember, it's nighttime, it's been a full day, and I promise any day with Jesus was a busy day." Just look at Mark chapter 1. It gives us just one journal entry in the life schedule of Jesus. It was incredibly intense. And I'm amazed that Jesus' response is, "So why, guys, are you sleeping?" And most importantly, why does He pick on Peter? Peter's always the one Jesus is picking on. And I don't know all the reasons for that. Perhaps he carried so much influence, and Jesus understood that. Perhaps he was the oldest of all of them and carried responsibility that way. But this question is not a question Jesus, again, just asked once. It's a question He asks three times. He comes back the second time and again finds them sleeping. And then second time, the Bible says the guys offer no answer. I think I too would just be embarrassed. I would just say, "Lord, I don't know what to say." And then the third time Jesus comes, and at this point it's too late because Judas is coming into the entrance of the garden. I would like to ask the same question to you because I think it's a question God's asking me, and I think it's a question He's asking us. And I feel like this message this morning is actually the most for myself. But if I can just invite you into what God is doing in my life this morning, maybe God can help all of us to go to discover that going forward with God always starts on our knees. Here's some reasons I found why I find it hard to watch and pray. Number one, same as these guys, I'm too tired to stay focused. And I'll promise you, the enemy knows the power of prayer. That's why he's always great at giving us sleepy eyes at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever your waking time is, or as you're going to bed, without having intentional, serious focus time with him. And that's a legitimate factor. It's just also something we have to counteract and recognize this can be definitely a tool of the enemy. You know, Jesus didn't give these guys a pass. Because he recognized, and we're going to talk about this here, he recognized just how important, how strategic this prayer time was for their future. Here's another reason. Sometimes we're too oblivious to the lurking dangers. You know, I promise you, if we could have heaven's perspective of our lives, by the way, your life is in the middle of a drama between two supernatural powers. All of our lives are caught in a divine current. And God's working in an amazing way. And if you and I could step into heaven and look down on the drama that's happening in our lives, all we can see from here is what's in front of our nose, barely that, we would suddenly discover, if we had heaven's perspective of our lives, how urgent it is for us to pray. I think we, and I say this to myself, do not realize what literally is just around the corner in the form of temptation, in the form of trials, in the form of challenges, in the form of decisions that need to be made, in the form of opportunities that test our inadequacy. And I promise for all of us, if we could see just on the other side of where we are now, the next half a day, the next day, the next week, sometimes it's not very long, it can be the next 5 minutes, we would recognize it is imperative that I pray. The enemy loves to pray, P-R-E-Y, on non-praying Christians. And I feel like one of our best measures of spiritual protection is actually prayer. Sometimes I fail to pray because it's too difficult to be still. Isn't it painful to sit still? And let me add to that and not fall asleep. maybe it's just 5 minutes. And I encourage you even just to 5 minutes. It is an incredible thing in your soul to still your soul for 5 minutes. To just meet with God. And you don't have to say a word in those 5 minutes, but consciously and intentionally give your focus to God. He's always standing over heaven's battlement, in fact, right over your shoulder, very interested in your life. He has a lot to say. And I'm realizing that one of the reasons I find it hard to watch and pray is because it's too difficult to be still. There are a lot of disciplines you're learning here at Baptist College of Ministry, and that's one thing I appreciated when I was at Baptist College of Ministry is the incredible disciplines that this ministry encouraged in my life and in the lives of students. Discipline is so important. In fact, it's one of the virtues Peter lays out that we looked at that first day from 1 Peter. He uses the word temperance. That's an incredible, important addition in our journey of faith. But you know the greatest, in fact, I would suggest the very hardest discipline in our life is actually the discipline of stillness. And the more we can master the discipline of stillness, the more it reduces fear, anxiety, and insecurity in our lives. And I'll tell you, by way of confession, fear and anxiety is my greatest sin. It's my greatest weakness. And I'm discovering that prayer and cultivating the discipline of stillness is revolutionary in bringing emotional health. Another reason, it's too vulnerable. We're too vulnerable to competing distractions. And it can be simply the distraction of email, and it can be the distraction of phone calls, and it can be the distraction of other things that arrest our attention and opportunities that are not required. They're opportunities that we have the freedom to choose to accept or not to accept. And if you're like me, I'd always rather find something fun to do with someone rather than spend some extra time with the Lord. There's always a place for everything. But I've recognized that sometimes the reason why I struggle to spend time with the Lord is I'm too vulnerable to competing distractions. And then finally, sometimes I find it too easy to follow the voice of need. I promise you, we live in a world that is screaming your name because of so much need. And all I have to do is show you my phone as an illustration of a world just crying with need. And you know, I'm convinced that the enemy knows how to use even spiritual things, ministry, to distract us from the most important key to walking forward with God. It's taking me time, even in the context of counseling, to realize that my best investment is never what I do around the counseling table, but it's actually the time I take to fast and pray before I ever get there, and also the time I take to pray for that case after they leave. You know what? More is accomplished from heaven in the discipleship of people than what we ever give through all of our investment. And that's not to underestimate the fact that God intends to use your ministry in the lives of people. But I've realized the best of my ministry is very weak and will yield very little remaining fruit if I don't major in the discipline of watching and praying. This is something in 2025 I feel burdened to grow more in. I draw our attention here to Mark chapter 14. And as we think about prayer, I want to just leave you with a few simple thoughts on what prayer actually is. And some of these I think we already know. It's just great to be reminded of these. First of all, prayer is an invitation to intimacy with God. Prayer is always my invitation to intimacy with God. You know, it's interesting, there were three disciples that were selected to be part of Jesus' inner circle. What did it mean to be part of the inner circle? Well, you got to be a special part of special board meetings. You got the privilege to go and make especially unique visits with sick people. Actually, when we look in the Bible, we discover in a couple different places that Peter, James, and John, by being part of the inner circle, were actually called to private times of prayer. And the first occasion was actually when Jesus was on his way to the Mount of Transfiguration. But perhaps the phrase we miss there is that Jesus was taking them to the Mount of Transfiguration not to showcase his glory, but he was taking them there, the Bible says, to pray. And now we come here to Gethsemane again. And while he takes the whole band of disciples to the garden to pray, he selects three to go further into a more private place for prayer. You know, it's a really special thing that God invites you to spend time with him. Sometimes I feel like my focus on prayer is I'm wanting God to spend time with me. But the reality is God's inviting me to spend time with him. And that's a revolution. I also want to consider here from Mark chapter 14 that prayer is the place that gives us a window into the heart of God. Whenever I come to pray, I'm filled with burdens. I never have an issue making petitions. Now, sometimes I have a harder time with the praise section of devotions, okay? I'm making confession there. But when it comes to needs and requests, I'm always bursting with needs, okay? I'm never lacking for things to ask God for. But I'm amazed here in Mark chapter 14 that Jesus actually invites his disciples into the garden, invites Peter, James, and John, and he takes them to a private place where there in that place, again, Jesus is still steps beyond them, but it's a special place where Jesus actually, where Peter, James, and John get a vision of the incredible burden Jesus bore. I feel like my days are very heavy. With phone calls, there's nothing I do that's easy. And every pastor knows that story even more. I've thought, what would it be like to actually be God for a day? Where he carries the burdens of 8 billion people and he knows every one of them very intimately. I can't imagine the heart of God as he's created every single one of us. And if all he cared for were just those in this room, that would be an amazing stewardship and the incredible burden that he carries. I'm so glad he cares. But I've been amazed to realize, and I think I noticed this from this text, that prayer is not primarily my invitation to just unload my burden on him, which is very key. I don't take anything away from that. But God wants to give me a window into the things that burden him. And that's exactly what Peter, James, and John get a special window to see from a distance. I also want to notice that prayer is always preparation for unanticipated crises. And we see that the crises here is Judas and the other band of arresters stepping into the garden to take Jesus. And I promise for every single one of you, the enemy, principalities and powers also have you in their scope. They already have a plan. They've already declared war on your soul today. And with that perspective, it's wonderful to recognize that prayer is always our best preparation for unanticipated crises. And then prayer is also a warfare against principalities and powers. And we have that especially mentioned in Ephesians 6, where it says, stand in the evil day. There we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not with the person sitting next to you or someone else who's an annoyance in your life, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. And then Paul encourages us, and take the armor of God. Notice it concludes praying with all prayer and supplication, because it's your best weapon against the enemy. And I think the enemy fears the weapon of prayer intensely because he knows its profound power. And then finally, prayer is always a prerequisite to supernatural exploits. Prayer is always a prerequisite to supernatural exploits. I leave you again with this chart. I love to be able to see the Bible as its own commentary on itself. And as we look at the life of Peter, I've just captured what happens in his life following this, again, major disappointment. Again, this major failure, if I may say, in the context of prayer. Peter learned a lesson that day that he never forgot. And from Acts chapter 1 forward, his life was a life marked by prayer. And for time's sake, we're not going to visit these references, but I encourage you to pick up the wonderful book of Acts and specifically looking at the life of Peter. You're going to discover that prayer was always an important piece in his life. He was a key part in the Acts 1 prayer meeting that birthed Pentecostal power. And then he became the spokesman to preach that message that 3,000 people responded to. He was the one who is on his way to prayer, the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3 alongside John. And as he's on his way to pray, guess what? God leads him to a lame man, and that lame man is healed. They're taken before the authorities and told not to preach anymore in Jesus' name. And Peter and the disciples say, Lord, would you just give us more boldness? And guess what? Acts chapter 5 reminds us that God so powerfully expanded and exploded the ministry of the church. The Bible says specifically, people did everything they could to get as close as they could to Peter, if by chance just his shadow might heal them. You know, I'm convinced that when suddenly prayer is a priority we can't escape, our lives carry such profound influence. Your life will carry such profound influence. And it's not because of who you are, and I promise it was not because of who Peter was, but it was because God was so alive in his life. I love Acts chapter 6, where we find the disciples recognizing ministry is getting so busy. There's so many needs that need to be fulfilled, and the apostles, along with Peter, said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It's amazing that just a few verses later, it says that church just explodes with incredible growth and opportunity. And I know that's been such a vision and a priority here at Falls Baptist Church. I think about Dorcas. Can you imagine being invited to the home of someone who's now just died? And Peter goes to pray. And as he goes to pray, Dorcas is raised to life. What an amazing thing. I think about Peter again. He's waiting for supper. He's being hosted by Simon the Tanner. He goes up to the top of a roof and spends some time praying. And it's in that prayer meeting God gives him a vision that shatters his expectation, shatters his presupposition, shatters his prejudices, and leads him to accept the most unexpected invitation of his life that actually has impacted every single one of you today. And that prayer meeting with God was the time Jesus revealed himself to Peter and said, the gospel is not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles. And I've got someone coming to your door who you need to go with so you can share the gospel with Cornelius. Not only did Cornelius come to Christ, his whole family did. Then Acts chapter 12, it's not Peter that's the one praying here, but he's in prison. He's the one sleeping. I think he had such a life of prayer, he was actually able to rest in such a significant crisis in his life. But the church was praying for him, and as soon as he was released miraculously by an angel, his first stop is a prayer meeting. I'm amazed as we look at Mark chapter 14. We find this dismal failure where Jesus confronted Peter three times. Son, why could you not watch with me 1 hour? And when we get to Acts chapter 6, Peter along with the others said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the power of the word.